Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
We were coming through Rochester, going through TSA, flying home last week, and besides Susie getting strip searched and had an explosive expert come check her protein powder, they went through my bag and they looked at a book, in which was my Bible, and said, "Man, it just looked different." I said, "Yeah, it's a weapon." She looked at me, I'm like, "I don't know if you know." I said, "In some circles, that's a sword." And the guy goes, "I hear you, bro." So be careful when you pack your sword and go flying through TSA. All right. How many have the Identity Church app? If you go on it, there's a new place on the program called Sermon Notes. If you want to know what I'm going to preach, you can look at it. I want to kind of set up this message. What do you do when there's a shift going on? When everything changes? Your habits? How you know, I normally do worship. I normally drive and I have windshield time and I have my time with the Lord. And now I have an employee who's sitting in the seat next to me, and it has changed my ability on how to worship, on how I talk to the Lord. And had a situation where I was driving through Orlando, and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge from one of our members. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll text her, I'll call her. And well, since she's here, I'll just pray for her." And I never texted her, never called her, and I just absolutely missed God. And so I've been having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning again to spend my time with God. And Susie's much happier that I am now spending my time with the Lord. We'll just leave it there. But I got up the other morning because I have to have my personal time. And I started praying, and I knew that my prayer was not Charlie motivated. It was Holy Ghost motivated. And the Holy Spirit started motivating me to worship the Holy Spirit as the person of the Godhead. And then he moved me to worship Jesus as the Godhead. And then to worship and adore the Father as the Godhead. It was a different entry into prayer. And I noticed, and I said, "Lord, what are you trying to show me?" And he says, "Do you notice that we are one? That we have oneness?" I said, "Yes." And he says, "The problem with you is you want everybody on your team to have oneness, and you won't give them the grace to build unity." I'm like, "Okay, this is going to be a really good session. I can feel it." Because this is now about me, not about you anymore. And what he showed me, and it's really interesting how this, you guys realize that the prophetic is starting to kick in our house again?
Amen. Yes.
I had two people come up, as a matter of fact, I had two people come up to me this morning and say, "This family on this row is in a great transition, and God is going to take you in places you only dreamed of." I had two people to come in here and say this about you guys today. So I said, "Okay, Lord, am I supposed to say that?" And I guess I was. But when we transition, things change. Your prayer time changes. Your ability to get quiet with God changes. And so as God challenged me on how come I didn't encourage, because Lauren was sitting there. And he says, "I just never thought you'd be scared of a 19-year-old girl." I said, "I ain't scared of her. I ain't scared of her." But I wouldn't pick up the phone and pastor somebody that I'm responsible for. "So what is it?" And I said, "What is it?" He says, "You're not even sure she's saved." So the next morning she came in, I said, "Sit down. We're going to have talk." Because I ain't missing God again because of you. And she starts bawling. How come every time you talk about God, I start crying? I said, because he's in you messing with you, just like he does me. And so long and short of it, she wants me to baptize her and seal the deal and recommit. And so she said, I can pastor you as I'm driving with her there. Thank you for the permission, Lauren. So in this prayer time, the Holy Spirit says to me, he says, me and the Son and the Father are one, and we have oneness, and that is your desire. And it is. It's your desire with your wife. The two shall become one. Okay. He said, but the problem is, he says, you don't know how to build a team. And he says, we're one, he said, but in creation, we had to have unity with the team. We didn't demand oneness at the beginning. Well, you have to have agreement, then you have to have unity, and then it goes into oneness. And I instantly, I was like, what are you talking about? Instantly, I went into Isaiah chapter 11, where it says, talking about Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees or decides disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, decide with equality the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Listen, this is God's team. I've never seen it this way. It says in the beginning, wisdom was with God when he created. You can find that in scriptures, Genesis. I've studied it. Wisdom was with God. And so in my prayer time, the Lord said to me, he goes, that's part of my team. These seven spirits are part of the team. Why? They stand before the throne of God. So when the throne of God, the Godhead goes to do something, they're part of the team. So I had this complete download, and the DNA of teamwork is agreement, unity, and oneness. I went to 1 Corinthians 12:12 was really my bounce off. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And so how do we build a team? First of all, you better have oneness with God. It starts with your personal oneness. Can he wreck your schedule? Can he become your focus when you had another focus? If you're not one, if you don't sense what he says, how he says it, it won't happen. You'll be like me the day after, and you see this person on Facebook, and they're asking for prayer for their family, and you had a word of knowledge, and you had a word of encouraging at the moment they needed it, but you're too focused on something else to be that word of encouragement. I know, you're all saints. I'm the only one that misses God. The DNA of teamwork. Although it may be possible to run a church, business, or organization single-handedly, it is certainly not the most efficient or effective method of operation. Nevertheless, countless people have tried to do it with minimum success. Inevitably, however, these same people eventually get so tired that they just can't run the whole show anymore. Ever been there? One of my friends says, man, he says, I'm so busy running to the bank, I can't do business anymore. I said, dude, that's called a bank courier. Keep making money. But after a while, even the most stalwart become weary of carrying ever-ended responsibility alone. Doing things alone is a course of action that guarantees your venture will never be large. You may do a top-notch job that touches a very small market, but your lack of a team limits your ability to touch very many people at one time. You can run the operation single-handedly in a small scale, but you will not be able to build a large church, a large business, or an organization without the manpower needed to touch and serve many people. The philosophy of doing it all single-handedly limits the growth of any organization, not to mention the fact that it can physically wear you out, kill you, and put you in the grave at a young age. agreement. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they agree? And I have my footnote that I have from 20 years ago. You don't always have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. Do you understand that? If you get religiously dogmatic in your belief, you'll say, I can't walk with you because you don't believe like I do. Wait a minute. Ooh, time out. So we have to 100% agree to walk together. Well, your marriage just went down the tubes. Or you're not married to my wife, who definitely has an opinion. So take your theory and go flush that. You can still walk hand in hand and not see eye to eye on every issue. But if you know the heart, if you know the heart, there's a grace that maybe you are right and the other person is wrong. But there's a grace to prove it. The world walking record for miles covered in a 24-hour period by a single individual is 121 miles. Susie's on that training program. The record is held by C.A. Harriman in California. The world doubles record is held by Jim Clark and Roger Rogas from Iowa. To qualify for the doubles record, Clark and Rogas had to walk side by side, and they could only clock 116.5 miles in 24 hours. So you can run it by yourself and do 121. Or you can do it with somebody else at 116. But listen, what is the goal? Walking with someone else. In the spirit realm, it's not how fast or how far we walk, but how Christ-like we do walk. The prophet Amos and his contemporaries claimed to be walking with God, but God saw their inconsistencies and said, "Why do you not know how to do right?" Amos 3:10. Therefore, Amos' question is paramount, and we should examine our walk with God and one another. If you only examine your walk with God and you don't examine your walk with others, I'm going to tell you, you don't know God. You know about God, and you are not impregnated with his DNA, because listen, the other morning, the Lord said to me, he said, do you think we did this by ourselves, or do we have a team? Okie dokie. Walking together is God's desire for his children. How can we walk together? In answering Amos' question, let us consider first the implications of walking together. First, the importance of walking together. And third, the implications of our walk. The implications of walking together. In the New Testament, the word used often to characterize Christian activity is walk. Not a short hike or a constant stroll, but a lifetime of commitment to maintaining fellowship by walking with the Father and his family. That involves at least two to participate. Walking together implies agreement or union. When agreement is formed, there is a common bond. This principle is seen in marriage. There is a unity in the bonds of holy matrimony. So it is in the family of God. We are united to a person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is our cause. And if you're united with Christ, you're united with each other. Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not my Christ and your Christ. It's the same Christ. So listen, if we can find the Christ within each other, we can find that place of agreement. We can find that place of unity. I'm telling you, there is a movement right now that I believe is the forefront. How many know? I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but Bobby Connors. How many know who Bobby Connors is? I believe Bobby Connors is one of the top five prophets in the world. And he put out a message, and he's put out a little segment of it. He had a demonic encounter where Satan himself came to him in the middle of the night and offered him great riches and resources for the kingdoms of this world if he would do one thing: quit preaching the sonship message. And so his new mandate is, listen, if Satan's offering me riches to stop the message, that's absolutely the message we have to keep preaching. You know, we got Papa Jack coming next Sunday. Yes. It's Father's Day. I got some spiritual brothers going, how did you pull that off? I'm like, I'm his favorite. Let's get real here. I am Papa Jack's favorite. I've said it so much, they're starting to believe it now. But listen, like Susie will tell you, the greatest encounter in my life is when Jesus walked to the wall, introduced himself as a king. The second encounter that brought as the second most change in my life is when I met Jack Taylor and found a spiritual father that loved me. Everything changed. Why? Because he was a mirror image of how God the Father was. And I had had leadership. I had had pastors. I had, if you read my book, I submitted anything that would move that said they were an authority. But God blocked their ability from fathering me because they would have molded me in their image, not his. So when real, true spiritual fathering is now hitting the earth, they will find that DNA of God in you that is significant to you, that is different from others, and they will mold you as a spiritual father into the image of God. And listen, it'll change everything. I said to my natural dad one day, I said, you know the difference between you and Jack Taylor? What? He says, you molded me into the assemblies of God, and he molded me into the kingdom of God. That was a good conversation. Walking together implies unity. Unity is more than agreement. Agreement is the framework that brings us together. Unity is the function within the framework. Agreement is getting together. Unity is getting along together. That's good preaching. Okay, unity. 1 Corinthians 12:12, the Apostle Paul compares the church to the human body with different parts that are equipped to perform different functions. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. If you've been here long, we are a kingdom-focused, kingdom-minded church. Here's the problem. Let me get the wording right because I always get in trouble. Not all of the church is in the kingdom. Amen. Not all of the church is in the kingdom. And if you are church focused, you'll miss what God's doing. So if we're a church, identity church, we have a function, we have our culture, we have our kind of our DNA, we have our likes, dislikes. I mean, we sing this way, we prophesy that way, we build what we are. But let me tell you something, it ain't about us. We are one member of a regional church in this Western Volusia County who's part of Florida. We are still just a piece of the whole picture. And if you lose that, you'll become spiritual inbred. There was 12 tribes for a reason. And see, this is what the enemy, if the enemy can get us divided and think we're better than the other tribe, he wins. He didn't even have to fight anymore. I need the Baptist. I need the Methodist. I need the Lutheran. I think it's kind of cool that God sent Bill Vanderbush to pastor a Spirit-filled Presbyterian church. He's off the chain prophetic. I'm thinking, how in the world is this going to work? And he goes, delicately. Real delicate. But I mean, we were talking. I said, you know why God sent you? Why? Because he couldn't send me. I say, because you're a princess. You're a sweet guy. And I say that with the utmost respect because, you know, when Bill and I are talking about our relationships with our natural fathers and God the Father and our crisis of believing God is so good, you know what his crisis was? His crisis of belief was, I just can't believe God the Father is better than my natural dad. I go, what a princess. This guy ain't got no problems. I can believe that hands down. God is definitely better than my dad. God is definitely better than me. But you know, but God uses him and puts him in places that he would never send me. Now, I might be invited for dinner once in a while, but I'm probably not going to go live there. It's not my makeup. Why? Because I'm a different member of different function. You know what I mean? Paul uses the word many to describe the various parts of the body. This word translated from the Greek is P-O-L-U-S, which describes huge quantity. But that same word also indicates many members, is also present the idea that there are great variety among the members. The Message Bible says it this way. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, and cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. That is exactly the same with Christ. By means of this one spirit, we all say goodbye to our partiality and our piecemeal lifestyles. We each use the independently call on our own to call our own shots. But when we enter into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say-so in everything, everything changes. As believers, we must say goodbye to our old, independent way of thinking and learn how to be integrated into a greater whole. We need each other. For without each other's input and gifts, we are incomplete. When God's people come together as a team to achieve a common goal, there is unified efforts bringing divine power and world-transforming moves of God on the earth. Doctrine, culture, language, and creeds will never bring unity in the church. But when we become single-focused, working together as a team to win the world to Jesus Christ, then that is when genuine unity will come to the church. And unity is such a powerful force. For some, unity is vague, dreamlike wish for a day when Christians sweetly ask each other, how you doing? And we all smile. Do you love you? I love you. I love this lady one time. I love you with the love of the Lord. Finally, I said, does it take that much Jesus to like me? You know, after a while, it's like, get off that cheesy smile and tell me what you think. That was free. Yeah, I just kind of said that. So what is unity? Unity occurs when people are united in action and in passion for a common cause. Their shared goal is so strong, listen to this, that it removes hostilities, puts away disagreements, and gives previously divided people a reason to take their place alongside each other. When this occurs, different gifts, talents and anointings become connected together, and the result is an amazing river of divine power that achieves the supernatural and accomplishes the impossible. It is not our doctrine. It is not our language that unites. It is our common goal. And our common goal is to get the kingdom message to as many people as we can by God's grace. The single purpose will pull our whole church together with a phenomenal unity. We should be many in numbers and diverse in gifts and talents, but need to be one in purpose. The kingdom message is the message of this house. You look at Matthew chapter 24. When will the end come? When the message of the kingdom is preached to every creature. I believe that is our mandate. Are we live streaming right now? Oh, Jesus. I have a boss who lives a different lifestyle, who's wanting to know when I'm traveling anywhere near where she lives because she wants to hear me preach. I'm like, Jesus, that scares me. He goes, why? You've loved her, and that's what she wants to see it on display. The flag, the shooting in Orlando. When are we going to love someone of a different lifestyle enough for them to still see Jesus? Or when are we going to just block them? Listen, this is one of my bosses. She's the VP. And my heart's going, I don't think I want her here. I don't know, because if she gets saved, then I'm going to have to deal with her. Am I the only one that thinks this way? See, the problem is I'm not, am I healed enough to not let the dirt get on me, but still let the love flow through me? I know, I heard that, Karen. I should be by now. We should be. Listen, but I'm telling you, most of those lifestyles is because of fatherlessness. I'm telling you, you could trace it back. Listen, you could trace back the lawlessness of our nation to fatherlessness. Listen, there was a demonic move against our culture that made the fatherlessness. The Lord says, you know how powerful the seat of a father is? I'm praying about all this because I'm supposed to know it all. And I said, no, Lord, what? He says, how many church split has the Catholic Church had? Very few in comparison to every other denomination. I go, why? He goes, because they have a seat of a father. Just do the math. And I don't even agree with her. Fatherless. So when God starts releasing through the Holy Spirit that he's a father, that means I'm a son equal to Jesus. And able to do what Jesus did. And all of a sudden I cry, Abba Father, and the DNA of the kingdom comes into my reality of who I really am. I can love anybody. When I know that I'm a son and I'm loved by the Father, I don't care what your lifestyle, you can't mess with me. The Old Testament says if the leper touched you, you got dirty. I'm telling you, I'm not an Old Testament. You touch me, you'll get clean. When you know who you are and who lives in you, the leper can touch you, but the leper will get clean. Don't try to fulfill your dream, run your church, ministry, business, or your department single-handedly. If you do, you only serve to be physically, mentally, spiritually exhausted yourself. Why don't you instead allow God to bring others around into your team that can help you fulfill your task? Don't settle for accomplishing your goal single-handedly on a small scale. Develop the manpower to build a large church business organization with enough hands to touch and serve many people. So why don't you ask God today to bring you individuals that will help you fulfill your God-given assignment? Number three, oneness. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Doesn't take too long in a newly married couple to come to the revelation that they think differently. I put on Facebook, we went shooting Saturday. I made it as a joke. I even wrote, it's a joke. You know, Susie and I were going to go to marriage counseling, but after seeing her shoot today, I have no problem. I'm going to behave. You know, I have to put it's a joke because people don't understand that's what I do. See, but here's the problem is if when me and Susie got married, you can't say we were one. Now, I know the Bible says once you're connected intimately, that the two become one. I understand that. And that's why some of us are screwed up because you've been connected with people without covenant. That's a whole nother teaching. But if we're doing this right, we come into agreement. It's called a marriage contract. We're not one yet. Because let me tell you something, she has an opinion and it doesn't always line up with me. And I figured out, you know what marriage is designed to do? Kill you. You're supposed to be dead, dead, dead. Why? Because the two got to become something it never was. I'm meddling, I don't think. I quit preaching about 10 minutes ago. Here's the problem is you'll say Christ died for your sins, but you won't die to your own will. And you wonder why you're not one with him either. But think about it. I want to be one with you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross. And he says, to be my disciples, take up your cross daily and follow me. And I read that one day, and he said, read it again. And about 20 times, I go, what are you trying to show me? He says, whose sins did I take care of on my cross? And I said, you took care of mine. He said, whose are you taking care of on yours? Well, what does that mean? He said, if you would go ahead and die and start forgiving these people that have sinned against you, then I can heal them through you. But I don't want to be as one with Jesus. I want to be like you, Jesus. Don't you hang me on no cross. You got to promote me because I'm your favorite. Yes, no. But marriage is designed for you to surrender and become something you never were. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you become a new creature. You never existed like you are now that you are in, you're walking with God. I'll never forget Mike and Billy's wedding. And I asked them to do some things prior to their wedding, and they trusted me. And I can remember this, Mike. I'm like, I'm doing your wedding. I'm like, you trust me? And he goes, no. I really don't trust you. And I just had this epiphany, but I had sat down with him and his wife and said, listen, if you'll do it my way, I can cover this. And I believe if you'll obey what I've asked you to do, what God's asked me to tell you to do, that there's a reward at the end of this. I didn't know what it was. I'm just speaking prophetically. But in this, I just said, I slipped out from my, I said, listen, today they're getting married. She's taking on his last name. She no longer wants to date him. She wants to become him. Some of you have been dating Jesus too long because you won't surrender to your will and take on his name and his nature. Jesus does not want to date you. He wants to be married to you and become one with you. So if there's not agreement, and there's not unity, you'll never have oneness. That filters through every one of our relationships. So as I'm wrestling with God, and I Pam, we had a conversation, and I realized that when I deal with people who think they're who say they're a prophet, I deal with them with the process of that. And I'm pretty black and white, and I figured if you think you can hear God that good, then I'm going to tell you what God says, whether you like it or not. And come to find out, most people don't hear God that well. They just thought they did, or they thought it was a calling, or they hadn't come to the place that God can speak directly to them some issues in their life that they need to change. But what it is, see, I would take somebody with a calling, and I would treat them like they were already there. And wonder why people can't hang with me, or people don't want to be around me. What? How, you know what I mean? So I've had to say, listen, not everybody's built the way I'm built. Not everybody has the encounter where Jesus walks through the wall and says, serve me or I'm going to have you killed. You know, some people met sweet baby Jesus laying in a manger. I met the Lion of Judah who goes, serve me or I'll kill you. Different mentality, different gifting, different relationship with God the Father, different relationship with Jesus. But then I take my experience and I completely put that same demand on somebody who's called to be a prophet, who's walking through their stuff, and I put it as if you're already one, I damage you. Instead of going, hey, do we have agreement? You're called. Let's work on the unity part here. Why? Because if I can work on it with you, you and God come into unity, the oneness will come in the process. That's in anything you're building, your church, your department, your family. Susie and I are becoming one. The problem is she's going to workout class and she's losing weight and I'm gaining weight. We're still the same weight. That ain't gonna work out well for me, I can tell. As one, we're doing fine, Sue. You get my point? Agreement, unity, oneness. It's a process. And I believe God is going to release a grace on all of us to grow through these dimensions. Find out where we have agreement. Where, listen, if our common goal is to release the kingdom, we'll deal with the issues that we consider we don't agree on. We'll find those places of agreement. And we'll come into unity of the purpose. But as we mature into that, we'll come into a place of oneness with God first and foremost, and oneness with each other. And we'll build a place that God wants to come and habitate in. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen overnight. And you can pray a kumbaya prayer today and live like hell tomorrow. All hell's going to break loose, but is it breaking off of you or is it your focus? Okay. You look at the notes, I got a bunch of preaching I'm not going to do. But it's in my notes. I think I'm done. If you go read that 1 Peter scripture, it talks about having sympathy or empathy. Sympathy one for another. And see, the reason I don't want to preach it is because it's about me. Sometimes I don't show enough emotional concern for your battle. Especially if you say things to me like, well, I've been serving God 30 years. I'm like, think and grow up. And what's happening is this pastoral thing on me is not on me anymore. The prophet thing is getting on me. Which means some of you need to start pastoring. Because the body needs pastors, but... You know, I was preaching with and Bill Johnson. I actually heard him quote my joke on one of his messages. I was preaching in Houston when Bill Johnson was there, and I made the statement. I says, you know, when you only have one tool in your tool belt and it's a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You know, we're supposed to have more than a hammer. You know, we're supposed to have a little pair of pliers or maybe a tack hammer or a little trim hammer. Not everything has to be a doggone sledgehammer. So, you get my point? And it is, once we get into enough unity and oneness, we'll have a sense that, hey, you need to mentor this one. Why? Because we're a many-membered body.
Amen.
And sometimes your personality will clash with mine. You know what I mean? Listen. Next week is Father's Day. I think Debbie Madison made her father's going through. She's back there talking and not listening. Her father's. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Did you want to preach? Do you want me to preach? Anyway, just kidding. But Debbie brought up that her father's going through medical issues. My father's been in the hospital the last few days. Who else was her baby? Okay, so there's two or three. Who's got fathers that are in crisis right now? I really believe that you know, there's a changing of the guard been going on. I just don't want my dad to go yet. I don't. I mean, he's 91. I mean, he can if he wants, but at the same time, if he's going to continue to be healthy, he's going to continue to be able to be the voice of God into so many people's lives. I want him around. And there's a release of heaven over the fathering positions. And there, you'll never be a good father unless you become a good son. And Papa Jack's coming next week. And I'm honored. I love him. But the greatest asset that I've ever seen a man of his caliber is that he has let his sons father him. And when we become a body of understanding that that young man may have the gifting and wisdom of God in a certain situation, if I can't recognize that and position myself to let him father me through a crisis, don't complain to God. I'm going to tell you something. Most of the things that you need, God puts it in someone you don't like.
That is the truth.
That is the truth. Absolutely the truth. I walked in a church one time with a couple $1,000 in my pocket, knowing God told me to help somebody. And that person didn't like me. And I walked out with my $2,000. And that wasn't on me. I went prepared. What about healing? What about deliverance? What about encouragement? It's just like the father to give what you need to one of your siblings that you don't like. Why? Because what is his goal? Agreement, unity, and oneness. And he's going to do whatever it takes. So if you're frustrated with God the Father and you don't have what you need, find out which one of his kids you're mad at. That's good preaching. Now I got to call my sister and repent. Stand to your feet. This is my prayer for this lesson. If you'll let me pray it and agree with it, I believe it'll help you. Okay? So just kind of put your hands out, position your heart, listen to the message I preached, and apply it to the areas that you need to. Lord, I want to thank you in advance for bringing me the team members I need to fulfill the vision you have put in my heart. I cannot run this race by myself. Help me to put aside my fleshly pride and to do everything I can to understand the different members and gifts with unique personalities that are part of this team. I realize that even though I can do my part of my assignment and my task alone, the greatest results only come and can be achieved by a team. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for your assistance to help me remain calm, to be at peace, and to let sympathy flow from my heart in place of aggravation that I have allowed to pester me. Help me adjust my thoughts so that I can think like a mature team member and family member of your kingdom family, and lead my team and my family into a true sense of unity so that maximum power can be released through us as to a world that desperately needs Jesus. Jesus, I ask you that you will teach us to come into agreement of unity and the power of oneness like you and the Father through this Holy Spirit have had from the beginning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church.